What's trending? The economy.
We just got our forecast here in Washington State. We are going to be low almost $1 billion. And of course, state Democrats, the governor of Washington, Bob Ferguson, and others are claiming that this is a direct result of somehow President Donald Trump. That's, of course, just flat out false. Joining us on the line to discuss is our operating budget leader, State Senator Chris Gildon of Puyallup. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Jason.
So what do you make of the nearly $1 billion forecast cut?
I think that it absolutely shows the ineptitude with which the budget was made. And for people who don't know, this budget that included historic levels of tax increases, $9.5 billion in state and another $3 billion in county and city taxes, that was totally a policy choice because the Republicans put out a budget called the Save Washington budget that was balanced. It didn't have any cuts. It didn't include any taxes. Majority Democrats voted against that twice and chose instead their tax first agenda, which, included a lot of new taxes, but also a lot of spending.
Well, and they're saying right now that come January, they're going to look to increase taxes again. Senator June Robinson, the Democrat from Everett, said that I'm not sure there will be a big appetite to do a lot in the revenue space. We really scoured all the agencies earlier this year for any savings and reductions that were tenable. So it just means we have to go deeper. How much deeper can they go?
Well, I mean, I'm going to cover a couple of things here, I guess. And first of all, I'm going to say that policy has consequences.
Yep.
And nobody's brought this up so far, but the legislature passed rent control just, recently. And one of the biggest drops that we've seen in revenue is from real estate excise taxes. Mm-hmm. So we're having fewer houses getting built, fewer new housing starts. And I think that's a direct result of rent control and the implementation of rent control, because all of the builders who had projects in the pipeline, they're kind of saying, hey, I think we're going to put that on hold. And that's causing a huge drop in revenue. So that's something that can definitely be turned around and actually improve our economy. The second thing I would touch on is our state's tort liability. So this is whenever the state gets sued for bad behavior of whatever, by state employees. Right now, we owe $570 million this year in unpaid tort claims, and that was not accounted for in the budget. They didn't make any payment towards our tort liability. And the state just recently came out and said by 2027, we could owe approximately $1.7 billion every 2 years. Wow. In tort claims and defense costs. Now, to put that into perspective, Jason, that is more than we allocate combined for the University of Washington and Washington State University. Now, both of those, I know Governor Ferguson likes to blame Trump and the big, beautiful bill or whatever, the tariffs. But certainly he cannot blame Trump for tort liability within our state. And he cannot blame Trump for the rent control policy, which has resulted in reduced housing.
And you also can't blame Trump for cuts to Medicare and health care, right? I mean, Democrats made significant cuts. And yet just today you have Senator Patty Murray complaining about how health care costs are going through the roof while federal government are making cuts. But that's, again, not the fault of Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, and I'll just mention two things here in our state. I proposed a bill last year that had to do with concurrent enrollment in Medicaid. So the state auditor came out with a report last December that said there are a couple of 100,000 people that are concurrently enrolled in Medicaid in Washington state and in another state, meaning both states are paying those monthly premiums. We shouldn't do that way. We should audit state Medicaid population. And if someone is no longer living in our state, we should not be paying those premiums. Of course, that bill didn't make it through because that would have been the responsible thing to do.
Exactly.
And then the other thing is, for a lot of our population on Medicaid, we pay for what's called managed care. this is like the Cadillac service of healthcare, right? Where you have someone who is like a case manager and they're taking care of all of the appointments and checking up. We could save hundreds of millions of dollars if we just change from managed care to a fee-for-service model, meaning we don't pay a monthly premium, but rather we pay for services that people actually get.
So what can be done? Realistically, if Republicans don't have control of either the House or the Senate?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that I always tell my colleagues is, you know, keep your chin up. I know that we are in a super minority right now, so obviously we can't push through any bills. But I think it is our job to bring reasonable, responsible, and viable policies to the table. We need to share ideas. And, you know, things like the concurrent enrollment or the fee for service or, you know, whether it's oversight of our state's tort liability and bringing agencies in whenever they have large lawsuits adjudicated against them and hold them responsible. These are all things that I think Republicans need to do. And we just need to continue speaking truth and speaking truth without hesitation.
But, Chris, you can speak without any hesitation all you want. Isn't part of the problem that left-wing media in the region won't amplify the message, and instead they amplify, you know, Bob Ferguson doing a press conference blaming Donald Trump for everything that Democrats themselves are responsible for here in Washington? So how can that be addressed? The media is not going to all of a sudden say, oh, let's give Chris Gildon or John Braun or any Republican lawmaker more airtime.
No, I think that's a great point, and that's been one of the biggest struggles that I've had. And, you know, we're out there trying to get our message out in as many different ways as we can, whether it's press releases, in-person, radio like we're doing now. And that is always one of my biggest frustrations in this state, is how do we further get our message out? Because the media is certainly not going to do it. You could see it with we've got a new sales tax that's taking effect October 1st. And there was articles just recently about all of these businesses that said, hey, we were totally caught off guard by this. We didn't know about it. Well, I think that's a direct result of the media being derelict in their duties and not putting out during the legislative session when all of this is being adjudicated. They didn't publicize these things. They just kind of kept them quiet.
Exactly, because if they publicized them, they knew that it would get back and harm Democrats, and they have no interest in harming Democrats. And yet they'll still tell the story, you know, weeks or months later about people being surprised by it. And still, by the way, not even point out that, because I know the story you're talking about, or at least one of the stories King 5 posted, and they were talking about how people are shocked to learn of these new taxes on, for example, live performance, which apparently also includes pottery classes. And yet they don't point out this was passed by Democrats. Republicans did not pass this. And so how can anything be fixed if people don't even know who's responsible?
The Democrats certainly have a supermajority in the House. They have a supermajority in the Senate, and they have the governor's office. And so far, their motto has been taxes will go up until the budget balances. But I tell you, I just don't know how you make Washington affordable by implementing policies that absolutely make it less affordable.
Exactly. It's unbelievable. But I'm glad you're there fighting. State Senator Chris Gildon, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jason. It was a pleasure.